that's one of the things about religion that we have to remember when we're talking about that makes it such a hot topic issue is because we're talking about law. Who gets to be God? Who gets to be God's deputies? Who is the Most High? Who is the divine authority? It's all about the claim to the Most High. The only way that somebody can be higher than us is if we give away our power. Because there's nobody, we're all equal. But we're not equal in our knowledge, so ultimately, I think it does have to be a hierarchy, but it has to be a cooperative hierarchy, like a bee colony. It's about what our value system is, what we care about.
Hello, Hive Mind. This is the third and final part of a pre-recorded show done on February 22nd, 2021. I am your host, Nate Kapp, joined by co-host Brandon Martin. Welcome to the 42nd Cubbyhole Podcast, where important topics are unveiled, discussed, and tested. Our website is cubbyhole.com. That's CUBBYWHOLE.com. As of now, this show comes out every Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific time, and please make sure to start at podcast number one if this is your first time hearing the show. On the last show, Brandon and I broke down much of the stellar symbolism, including bear, gavel, all-seeing eye, and axe symbolism, and the subversive uses of those symbols. The symbolism of the stellar mythos is very important in regards to understanding origins, unity, the Most High, and the divine source, especially. It's a really important study. We also introduced Freemasonry and its basic fundamental breakdown, what it is and what it is not. The science of Freemasonry helps the seeker understand the depths of morality and live a more balanced life. That's the point. It is truly the study of comparative religion in the sense of, if you remember the second Cubbyhole show where I talk about how to find truth, you know, with the idea of the round table and the cup, and that table having many people sitting around it, and then imagine that truth equals the cup, which is set up in the middle of the table. And let's just say 12 people, including you, are sitting around that table, and each person has their own perspective of the cup in the middle of the table. Each person has gnosis of what they see, and all of you can agree that you see the cup or truth, but can all agree that none of you knows or understands all sides of the cup. So what has to be done to solve this problem? Well, each of you could get up and go see all sides of the cup by circling the table, right? But what if all of you were limited and could only stay positioned in one spot? Kind of like, you know, being around the world and being in the country that you're in and everybody else being in a different country. And you're all looking at the same thing, but with a different perspective. Then everyone would have to speak with each other and communicate what is seen from their position so that each person could know as much about the parts of the cup that can't be seen by each person. And so this is analogous to comparative religion in the sense that in order to get closer to truth, we must study as many sides as we can to gain a fuller picture of why each religion is, especially major religion, why there's importance to them or what's important within them in their teachings that can generate a better and more moral world of freedom. So it's just like, you know, most religions hold the golden rule at their core. So there's value And it's essentially about describing the same thing, but with different dialects. And this makes it difficult, but helps us come closer to truth or closer to source. That's why we must stay open but principled when looking into this kind of material. So, yeah, this is about Freemasonry. And we're going to go much further in this topic from here on out, you know, this science. And we're going to demonstrate this science a lot in coming shows. So it's about how it's used for love and nature, Freemasonry, or how it's used for control and chaos by the dark occult or the dark lodge. Okay. So before I put the third part of the show on, I wanted to share some things regarding bear symbolism that came to me after the last show, where Brandon gave a stellar breakdown of that symbolism, stellar symbolism. One of the things that he brought up was the sports team, the Chicago Cubs, and its logo. And I wanted to add to that. So if you think about the Cub as the constellation Little Bear, as the seven, and the Little Bear or Cub is inside the sea. This is like I said on the early show when I spoke about the eighth principle of care, when I said C equals three. It's the third letter in the alphabet, and the letter G being the seventh letter of the alphabet. So C and 7 fused create the capital G, because it's about seeing the 7. So it's the 7 within the C. It's the little bear within the C. It's the 7 in the C. So we see 7. We see little bear. C is also an arc. It's the symbol of an arc, and an arc holds something of high significance, right? So there's no denying that the word cycle starts with a C, and that each day equals one cycle or arc that the little bear is swung around by his quote-unquote tail by the pole star Polaris. The arc holds the 7. The arc holds the significance of the Most High. So the Chicago Cubs is actually the symbol G, which is C7. And I found that very, very powerful. Yet, of course, it's subversively used as well. So 108 years of getting beat down in baseball. And then in 2016, just 5 years ago, they beat the Cleveland Indians in Game 7. It took the Cubs 108 years to win a World Series. Think about that. And that number is significant, very significant. If you're not familiar with this number and what it means symbolically, it means somethingness, which is the number one, nothingness, which is the number zero, and infinite, which is the number eight. And the little bear equals Most High, or symbolically, it means source. That's what 108 means, source. And I feel there's more I'm leaving out on this bear symbolism. I'm sure I'll share more about it throughout these shows. But the one thing that really blew my mind this past week is, if you remember me speaking about the little bear constellation tail being the tall tale, as in, a story, a tall tale story. Because bears don't have long tails. And it's the tallest tail because the little bear is seemingly the Most High. So it's the tallest, most important story of universal enfoldment regarding the journey to source, to know source, and the journey towards enlightenment. So, Brandon told us that he believes that the bear might actually be the jackal dog, the Jack and the L, which means sun and the great architect of the universe, or God. He told us the story where he believes the African gray wolf was the first animal, the first dog to greet man into nature. And then went on to say that he believes that symbolically this was man befriending knowledge or the creator. That's very important to keep in mind. And then when I heard that, it hit me so deeply that the bear is also meant to mean to hold, right? Like, to bear something is to hold something. And because a bear doesn't have a long tail and an African gray wolf or jackal does have a long tail, it's because it's based on the false tail. And spiritually or symbolically, if a dog is man's best friend, and then that translates to man befriending knowledge, so knowledge becoming man's best friend, then we can understand where the word dogma really comes from. Because in order to know and understand the Creator, we must learn and understand dogma. We must befriend dogma. We must learn and understand the dogma of knowledge in order to become closer to source. Because we can't understand the one without the two. And Ma translates to the sacred feminine or care, because it takes care to know dogma in order to truly want truth or to know truth. So the bear tail is dogmatic. It's dogma because bears don't have tails. Not long ones anyway, like the constellation suggests. So really, it's about the bear holding or bearing dogma. So holding the dog and the care, or bearing the knowledge and the care to know the unfoldment towards truth. It's seemingly fixed. It's a seemingly fixed constellation. So therefore, it's a fixed story. And this is what being spiritual is all about. It's about transcending dogma, to transcend towards truth and align with natural law or God. Spiritually, or spiritual, means spire ritual when broken down into two compounds. Spire ritual. So the spire is the constant unfoldment, like the Fibonacci sequence. And ritual is the action of aligning to this unfoldment. And if you haven't thought of it already, it's clear what dog spells backwards. So that's my take on the little bear and the tail. And it's important. It's a very important tale to be studied. So thanks for bearing with me. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and play the last part of our show now. And this is right after I explained what Freemasonry is and is not. And of course, there's way more to it, which we're going to cover as we move forward. So here it is. All right, we are back, and it has been a really jam-packed show so far. And if you are listening to this, I want to thank you for making it this far, because it really is a lot of work that we have put into to be able to produce work like this, to be able to talk about these types of topics in depth. And, you know, so it's much appreciated, and You know, you're only doing yourself some good service to truth by making it this far. So I wanted to let Brandon go ahead and give us a little feedback on what I just talked about regarding Freemasons and Freemasonry.
Yeah, I think you did a very wonderful job explaining Freemasonry. I mean, Freemasonry is an ancient esoteric tradition, which is all about knowing the higher self and natural law and becoming a builder of a better mind, soul, and ultimately the resurrection of morality within a human being. And this is, you know, personified in one of their legends known as the Hiram Abiff legend or the Master Builder, which we will explain in future episodes. So really, Freemasonry is about understanding the cosmic laws, like Nathan pointed out. I feel that it's very important to distinguish the difference between the lodge system and the actual tradition of Freemasonry. The lodge system has to do with Freemasons, and it has to do with a corrupted version of the ancient esoteric sciences that were preserved in the symbolism and in the allegory that Freemasons do hold in their temples and in their lodge systems. But we have to recognize that we are specifically talking about the original intent and original purpose for Freemasonry and what it actually is at the root of the tradition. So I find some green language within the word Freemason very interesting, okay? So we have free, which, you know, obviously is about being free, and then Mason. And Mason can be broke down into Ma, and Ma is the Egyptian goddess, which is Ma'at, of natural law and justice, and then Sun, or Sons, the S-U-N, but also the S-O-N as well. So Freemasons are the sons of Ma, the sons of Ma'at, the sons of natural law and the one great architect of the universe. So I always felt that that green language said a lot about the term Freemasons. So I find that pretty synchronistic, and I just wanted to add that in to this section. Now,
I love that.
Right? It's so powerful when you can really understand that. So, you know, contrary to what most people believe, Freemasonry is the eldest of all the mystery traditions. It is the oldest of all of them. It predates all the others, and all the other mystery traditions build upon the modes, motifs, and symbols and expressions of Freemasonry. Freemasonry, obviously, was not called Freemasonry in the ancient time. We didn't have the words to express in complex languages at that time to call it Freemasonry or something like the craft. Okay, but what we did express it in is the rites and rituals, the symbols, the sign language, and the gestures of ancient times and ancient people, specifically the stellar people of Kemet. They preserved all of the rites and rituals of Freemasonry in their sign language and gesture. So it's very important to understand this when it comes to Freemasonry and the evolution of Freemasonry. So if you compare the rituals and rites of initiation and passage in the lodge system with the rites and rituals of totemic society and totemic people, you will see a direct ubiquitous nature between the two, because those rites and rituals are directly derived from the stellar cult people and the ancient totemic people of Kemet. This is all proven through an in-depth study of anthropology, totemic sociology, Egyptology, eschatology, and mythology. And this is something you might find interesting, Nate. You'll probably like this. Metaphysically, the origins of Freemasonry start when polarity is manifested into reality. One could say it begins when the collective self, the first aspect of the great architect of the universe or collective consciousness, becomes aware of itself or becomes conscious of itself, which gives a mirrored refraction or reflection, which creates poles. And this is what we're about to explain is the two pillars of Masonry. But this is, you know, something that is very important to understand, that metaphysically, Freemasonry starts at that high, high level of creation. And, you know, in my point of view, Freemasonry is directly proportional with the evolution of the all, with everything. But it's also directly proportional with our own evolution, with human evolution. So physically, it, you know, Freemasonry comes into manifestation when we have advanced our evolution to become self-aware and apply that understanding into a system of modes and expressions that further our evolution into a higher type. So it's really important to understand that Freemasonry goes back to the origins of our ability to understand what we are, to reason. Once we have our ability to reason, and once we have our ability to become fully self-conscious of our internal realm and our external realm, and to do corresponding and comparative studies through our own mind. And this also, like I said, is refracted or reflected into the all, which is metaphysically the same thing. So once those two poles, those two pillars, or the principle of polarity and duality come into existence, this is when we could say we have the start of some of the growth and the evolution of Freemasonry.
Wow, man. Nice add-on. It's just amazing how much more there is. And obviously, you know, Freemasonry is just a lifelong study, but it's just incredible. You know, once we understand our mind to a higher degree, then we start to see the reflection of the science of Freemasonry and vice versa, you know. And it's just really incredible the amount of work we have done as a species to show this, to prove this, to, you know, advance ourselves through symbolism. And it's just a very mind-blowing experience for sure.
Yes, absolutely, Nate. It is extremely revealing as we start to open up this topic of Freemasonry. I mean, that's what the whole Cubbyhole show is about. Everything that we've been covering up till now is about Freemasonry. Everything that I've been covering, you know, it's about the subversive uses of Freemasonry, the subversive uses of the knowledge, and it's about the proper uses of that, you know, what Freemasonry is and what Freemasonry is not, like you said.
Yeah, it's so, so vital that we are able to orient ourselves and, you know, stay honest to these words and really look into it ourselves and not just, you know, take what other people say as the truth, you know, right away about what we hear about these types of things. And, you know, even what you're hearing right now on this show, you should not just believe what we're saying. You know, it's we've done a lot of work to put this work forth, but, you know, it's up to you to go and, you know, figure this out and discover these sciences on your own, because that's really where you're going to allow it to unravel within yourself. And just something that's so vital and important for people to really pay attention to. We're going to go over more of the subversive use of Freemasonry. And in show 38, Brandon covered the subversive use of solar, lunar, pyramidal, and Saturnian symbolism, and earlier the stellar, the bear, and the all-seeing eye, which are all symbols within the sacred science and art of Freemasonry. That's very important to note. And now we're going to cover the basics, at least, of the first degree trestle board, or, you know, what's also known as the tracing board. And within the science of Freemasonry, the trestle board that we're going to speak on is known as the symbol of natural and moral law. This specific trestle board that we are presenting is known as Solomon's Temple, or the Entered apprentice. And this is esoteric Freemasonry. This is a symbol of symbols. And by understanding this first degree trestle board allegorically, in its deep nature, we can raise in consciousness and generate true wisdom of self. It is important to understand that a lot of what I'm breaking down is in correspondence with the components of our left and right brain. So having prerequisite knowledge of that will really help, especially, you know, having prerequisite knowledge of the triune brain, which is the neocortex, the midbrain, which is the limbic brain, and then the lower brain, which is the reptile brain or the R complex. And that is something that I've kind of dropped the ball on, not covering that in detail, which I'm going to very soon, because it's just so important to understand the triune consciousness, the triune brain, and especially with this type of symbolism. And this trestle board is an allegorical, you know, this is the allegory of the mind. And what I'm going to break down is the name Solomon, which is Sol-O-Mon. So you have the solar, the sun, which is light. If you're looking, oh yeah, and I meant to mention the slide that has the carpet. It's known as the carpet, and the carpet is that has the north, east, west, and south letters on each side, and it has the three pillars. So definitely make sure to look at that and follow along. And we have, like I said, we have Solomon, which is, when broken down, it's the soul, so the solar or the sun, so that's the light. And then we have the O in the middle, which is the eye, and then Mon, which is lunar or moon. So we have to recognize that, you know, there's the light and then the dark, and then in the middle we have the all-seeing eye. And this is one of the few different interpretations of the first degree tracing board, and it's called the Entered Apprentice. This is given to the initiate at the beginning of his or her journey that you, the listener, is apparently on right now. And this is part of the journey toward enlightenment, which consists of studying the sacred science of Freemasonry. The allegorical name Solomon's Temple, or the Temple of Solomon, is the reflection of the self. This is you. And not only is this self you, it is the whole universe, symbolically the microcosm self in correspondence with the macrocosm. The first degree tracing board is a lifetime study of, with a purpose to help us stay balanced and oriented in the deep mysteries of the inner esoteric world, as well as the outside or exoteric. It's to help us raise consciousness and stay on the path, finding out how much we don't know, but definitely having the power to know, especially in the age of information, which we are currently in today. And there's plenty of information on Freemasonry that you can find, but obviously you want to definitely look in the right places too, but you really can't go too wrong looking into much of it, especially by actual Freemasons. So to the uninitiated or sleeping body self, this board would just look like an interesting piece of art or some kind of, you know, made up story, you know, somebody just randomly created. But I assure you, with great knowledge and understanding, we can have a pretty mind-blowing experience of truth that comes with it. So Brandon said he wanted to break down the checkerboard floor, and I wanted to go ahead and hand it off to him, and he's going to give us the details of what the checkerboard floor means and what it symbolically means. So go ahead, give us a little breakdown.
Okay, yes. So the checkerboard floor is one of the most important symbols to the initiate, for it is used in almost all ritualistic ceremonies and the evolution of consciousness. This is because the black and white symbols, which stand for many things like duality, light and dark, right and wrong, or base consciousness, are symbolic of the checkerboard floor. Base consciousness is important because it is where all other states of mind arise and start from. It is all about choice. This is about the choice to either climb the ladder and ascend or remain on the floor of the temple in ignorance and in unknowingness or in a state of internal duality. This is about building on firm foundations of principle, natural law, and morality. So if we look at this, you know, trestle board or this tracing board, we can see that there are many tools, which I'm not going to explain all the tools here today. We can go into that in the future shows. But these tools are what we build with, and that's why they're on the ground. This is where the work is to be done. It's to be done on the ground, right? Because, you know, yes, we have to ascend, but we also have to keep our spirit firmly anchored to the ground. And more often than not, you will find an anchor symbolic of this in Freemasonry. In the background, beside the middle pillar, on the left and right side of the middle pillar, you have two ashlars. One ashlar, which is imperfect, and then the other one, which has been perfected. The ashlar represents this process of perfecting yourself, coming out of darkness and into light. It is about building a better self. Now, it's not about becoming truly perfect, because perfection is ultimately an illusion, but what it is about is smoothing over the rough edges, such as it's shown in the back of this picture with these two ashlars. One ashlar is really rough looking, just like a rock that's been pulled out of the ground, and the other one has been smoothed over to create a very seemingly perfect square. And we can look at this as our minds and our emotions and our actions being perfected or being built into a better form. And this is our ability to evolve ourselves. This is our ability to create something better for the world by building ourselves up. And it all starts on the checkered board floor or the floor of the house. So there's a lot to the checkered board floor, and it has been used subversively by dark occultists because most people are stuck on the checkered board floor. They have never come out of it. So, like I said, the meaning of this is duality, initiation, foundation, choice, but it also means unconsciousness, ignorance, immorality, a schism, and it also means slavery. So there's positive and negative uses of the Masonic checkered board floor, obviously. So it's dualistic. So it's positive and negative. One place that we see the checkered board floor being used negatively, very highly, is also in Hollywood. We see a lot of these people who are victims of mind control using symbolic associative means of the checkered board floor. Sometimes they're dressed all in checkered board, and there's a slide that you can follow along with what I'm talking about. So you find it in pop music, you find it in, you know, at the red carpet, you find it, let's say, like one of the images on the far left here, we have Pink, who has a checkered board floor leg on her left side, and then she's blindfolded, and the initiate goes through this ritual where he has to have one of his legs, one of his pants legs pulled all the way up to the knee, and he has to be blindfolded, which is the ritual of the initiate or Hiram Habif, and his process into enlightenment, because it represents that you cannot see and that you're ruffled. You're in a ruffled state, that you haven't, you know, built yourself and smoothed yourself out yet. You haven't, you know, aesthetically started to work on yourself, and metaphysically and spiritually, you have not worked on yourself at that level. So you haven't gained the knowledge of morality, the knowledge of right and wrong. And this is why they start you out in this ruffled state, or this, you know, state of discombobulation, you could say. But yeah, we see this a lot in Hollywood, where it's being used not only as triggers for people who have MK Ultra mind control techniques being done onto them for alters, but it's also used to associate symbolically and subversively, but also just subliminally about these aspects of Freemasonry, about the aspects of right and wrong, about the aspects of light and dark, you know. So you can see this all over the place. But one place that we really find this symbolism being used is on the caps of police officers, where they have the checkered board floor wrapped around the temple of the police officer.
Yeah, it's crowned.
That's right. It is crowned. And it's the crown checkered board floor, being that the board is now on the head where it should not be located. So it's binding the head of the individual. And what this means is that this individual is in a state of ignorance, of not knowing right from wrong, not knowing light from dark, not knowing principle from, you know, immorality. So this is the dark use of the checkerboard floor. There's no better example of how the dark occultists are mocking people. This is dark occult mockery right here. And I mean, if you look at this image as well, you have the pentagonal symbol of the inverted pentagram placed right over their third eye as well. And then also you have one with the double square, which also represents binding and slavery. And we'll get into both of those symbols probably in the next episode. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot to the checkered board floor, but it is really important to understand that, you know, it is the place of initiation. This is where we start from. I was on the floor at one point, and I climbed the ladder, and then, you know, I gained the knowledge. And we climb the ladder over and over. It's not just like you climb it up one time and then come back down. You know, you do this up and down. It's a rhythmic process. You go up and down like a tempo, which is interesting because that correlates to the word temple, because you have temp in there, which is rhythm, and then L, the tempo of L, the rhythm of God. So I find that very interesting that the temple, which is the mind, has the rhythm of God, the rhythm of electricity, the rhythm of movement. So there's a lot to that.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the police officer hat. I think the only places I've seen that are in Britain and Chicago with the checkerboard floor on the crown, which is very interesting in and of itself. But to really express what that also means is, if there is a checkerboard floor on your crown, which is, you know, above your eye or your eyes, it represents that, you know, something that's not in this trestle board is a casket, which is normally under the floor. So what it's really saying, it's mocking them and saying that their eye or their, you know, sleeping self is resting in the casket. And so a police officer who wears one of those is a perfect symbol of what a walking dead is, or, you know, someone who is simply unbegun, and definitely someone who's very immoral. So, but yeah, you really broke it down well with the checkerboard floor. And I just wanted to add a few things in there. You know, if you're not awake to the checkerboard floor and you don't understand it, then it's you have to understand it's about like you being a pawn or a game piece that's being played on a chessboard of life, by the hidden powers, like, you know, the dark occult or the sorcerers that have this power differential with this knowledge. And they know no one really understands this information. They know most people don't understand these symbols. So basically, those who know our mind and how it works know how to control, you know, the people by hiding or occulting this knowledge to, you know, basically, like I said, have a power differential over the, over our minds and, you know, the unenlightened masses. So looking at the archetypal pillars or columns, these symbolize the polarities and aspects of the human brain. And on the left is the pillar of strength, serenity, and action. This is the sacred masculine pillar with the sun above it, which is also called the pillar of Jachin. This pillar is the light pillar, the positive yang polarity. Then on the right, we see the pillar of Boaz, which symbolizes beauty or emotion, which has the sacred feminine aspect to it. And it is also the dark pillar and the negative yin polarity. And by negative and positive, it doesn't mean good or bad when relating them to, you know, the gender principles of the self. It doesn't mean, you know, one is better than the other. I'm talking about the inherent nature of the material world. Light is the penetrative force, which is a positive energy, and the dark is receptive or submissive of that force, as it is negative energy. And right above the pillar, the right pillar, we see the moon with seven stars. And moon is lunar, which is always associated with the feminine energy. It's really important to keep in mind that every person contains these two principles within him or her. The middle pillar with the W, or pillar of wisdom, also known as the Ionic pillar, or Jacob's ladder, represents the way through. It's about unity, or the middle, or balance. This pillar is erected when the sacred feminine and sacred masculine unify, what's known as the Sushumna and the rising kundalini, or the alchemical wedding, which fills the whole body with divine light. This creates the sacred male child, or enlightenment. The W represents wisdom, which is a sacred masculine expression combined with sacred feminine, creating a synthesis of true care that manifests the right or correct and moral actions in the world. So wisdom is the application of knowledge through understanding. And so this means the sacred child is always masculine because it is the active principle, which is balanced with the positive emotion and intuition of the sacred feminine and the thoughts of the sacred masculine. So thought, emotion, and action. Sacred masculine, sacred feminine, and then the active action principle, the child. So the concept of these pillars can be traced back to the ancient civilizations of antiquity. So Kabbalistically, if you understand the science of Kabbalah, the names of the two pillars mean, in strength shall my house be established. So in other words, to build a strong mind through will, care, and the great work. So remember, this is all allegorical. It's a sacred science. So taking any of this literal reveals nothing about our inner self. Was there anything else you wanted to add in, Brandon?
Yes, I wanted to add in that the all-seeing eye is properly placed in this trestle board over top of the Ionic pillar. obviously you have the Green language of ion, being that the I is on, and then I see, so ionic is ion, I see, and you know, it's properly placed as the highest of the high. And what I mean by this as well, when I say properly placed, it's not being placed over top of the sun or in a left brain imbalance, being over top of the pillar of Jachin on the left side or the pillar of strength. So yeah, that correlates back to what I was speaking about when I was talking about the stellar mythos, the all-seeing eye, and the gavel. Because the gavel is, you know, the all-seeing eye. It is Polaris. It is the singular point that does not move of Polaris, where all other constellations circle around it. So this is very profound because it shows the stellar mythos still intact in this trestle board. And another thing I would like to add is that you called it a carpet. Well, it is a carpet, but it's also known as the magic carpet. It's the carpet that can fly you to all places of the planet or all places of everywhere in the universe, of yourself, you know, the inner universe, the Y-O-U-iverse, because the universe is not just the external universe, it's also the universe within yourself. So just add the Y and O in front of that word universe, and then you understand that. So yeah, this is the perfect depiction of the archetypal language of the self and the universe itself. So yeah, I just wanted to add that in.
Yeah, this is all part of light masonry, you know, the true essence of Freemasonry. And yeah, I like what you added in about the flying carpet, because yeah, it is a magical carpet. It's about lifting off of the ground and going anywhere and everywhere you want to go within the self. And that is sacred science. It's like you really have to understand that this is, you know, something that I spoke on in past shows about the higher imagination. This takes the imagination to do internal science work. And that is what Freemasonry really is all about. And I wanted to say, I wanted to speak on the three beings that are in this photo, in this trestle board. There are three initiates on the ladder, and that's very symbolic and important to pay attention to. These are three aspects of self. We see one of the initiates on the middle of the ladder, dressed in green, dangling a key by a thread. And it's important to know why she is wearing green and where she is positioned. Green is the Anahata heart chakra. So when we understand the chakra system, we understand that green is in the middle. So it's the color of balance. You know, when we understand the visible spectrum of color, green is in the middle. In nature, green is the prominent color. And in the world, care is dangling by a thread. So symbolically, that key grants us the entrance through the Stargate to the higher echelon of self. And the higher ladder rung, you know, that you have to have the key, the care to go up the ladder. So it's about, you know, having the key to go up, to find balance and illuminate the eye that you see in the middle there. The third eye, that's what that's corresponding to. And something that we've touched on in the past shows is the Hermetic principles. And if you read the Kybalion and you understand the Hermetic principles, this will give you all the keys to understanding this trestle board for sure, because It's like those principles are the tools that we have to use in order to understand this symbol of symbols. And looking at the latter, you know, this represents the balance of synthesis or combination of the left and right pillar, the left and right brain. The latter goes from the dark side of the board to the place of light or enlightenment. So the bottom right side of the board is darkness and the upper left is light. And the whole point of this board is going from dark to light in the mind. And that's really it. So looking at the bottom left and right of the middle pillar, we see two ashlars. And I know Brandon already covered the ashlars to a degree, but I wanted to add a couple things in there. So those are the cubed looking stones. So to the left, we see the rough ashlar, which is a stone in a rude and natural shape, unformed and unpolished. And basically, this stone needs to be squared, fitted, adjusted, and hewed and carved with a 24-inch gauge and common gavel to become a perfect ashlar, which is what we see on the right. This symbolizes transformation from the natural state of being in an ignorant and or nescient lower self to then becoming a raised and stronger balanced mind intellectually. A perfect ashlar helps make a perfected temple. Plus, their placement symbolizes balance, like the dots of the yin and yang. So, for example, there is always a dot of yin within yang and vice versa. So, since we're talking about tools, I know we kind of said we weren't going to, but, you know, we're already doing it, so we're almost through this. We're talking about tools, and the 24-inch gauge on the rough ashlar symbolizes time well employed. So, you know, going from the rough to the perfected is the time. It is the great work. And the common gavel is of the purification of the heart. So the level at the base of the masculine active pillar means action must be in balance. And then the plum leaned up against the feminine pillar symbolizes to govern our emotions, you know, to keep emotions upright or erect. The square pointing up means overcoming our base nature, our animalistic nature, coming out of beast or base consciousness, moving towards morality. Also keep in mind the golden color of the tools, which represent the necessary pieces of light that we'll need on our path through the dark. So looking at this piece as a reflection, we see the number 7 in reverse from the bottom of the ladder to the sun, connecting the eye and on over to the moon. The number 7 is a vast topic that we're definitely going to really, you know, spend a lot of time on. I mean, you know, it's just going to be in all these shows, and it should definitely be studied in depth. And the whole image is like that of a book. You know, that's what really has to be understood here. It's like an encyclopedia of esoteric knowledge. And I want to stress that, you know, this has nothing to do with, you know, a secret group of people or some hierarchy. This is a sacred science of esoteric Freemasonry. And this board isn't something you just completely understand overnight. And I've ruminated on this board for a long time, and I keep finding things forever, it seems like. And to be clear, this board is a tool of tools, which are neither good or bad. They are used to delve into the inner psyche and the inner nature of the true self to help us understand our human psychology better. But, and you know, it's about helping us become sovereign, really. But like any tool, the wielder of these tools can use them for good or bad, for good or ill, you know. So also just one more thing I wanted to add, if you wanted to add something, Brandon, the entered apprentice is really the entered apprentice, meaning buried, you know, one whose spirit is deadened and in a state of unconsciousness, needing to come out of, you know, the West, the tomb, to make the journey towards light. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, I'd like to say that for people who haven't caught up with our previous episodes, West means death in the ancient Egyptian mythology, because the sun sets in the West, and that's why West is placed underneath of the checkerboard floor here. And so what Nathan is in referencing to there is the coffin underneath of the board, which would be the sun in the coffin. The sun represents the soul, so we're trying to raise up out of the coffin and into the light of knowledge. The other thing I wanted to mention before we get off here is the three initiates. I'm glad you brought those up. I'm glad you explained the key. The first thing I'd like to say is that they are facing the downwardly. They're facing towards you. And what this means is they're actually coming down the ladder. They're actually coming down, and right. They even seem to be sitting on that. So they've already went up and come back down. They're bringing the knowledge of the higher mysteries back down for the people. And if you look pretty closely, there is an anchor as well in this image, which also symbolizes being grounded. So that's part of that. But also the key in this is a single-headed axe. So this is the proper use of a key. So the key is the gavel, but it's in the single-headed axe form. The original form of a key is actually a double-headed key. So the first keys that were ever made were double-headed. So that also shows the evolution of the implements of the physical key going from a double-headed axe and double power into a single-headed axe. I just wanted to add those couple little things in there. I think you did a wonderful job of explaining the tools and everything in this board. And like you said, there's so much knowledge in this. You can continue to bring out more and more knowledge. And I'm sure we will go more in depth with this tracing board and the other tracing boards as well in the future.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, this board... We're definitely going to spend a whole show on this board and the other 2 degrees, which are past and entered, and these degrees, these boards, these trestle boards, entered, past, and raised, are very, very, very important trestle boards to not only discover, but then to study, and then to discover what they are telling you from within. You bring the knowledge to these boards to discover something very, very powerful within yourself. And, you know, we're going to do the best that we can to extrapolate on these arcane ideas, because if you're really serious about this, then, you know, it really has to be studied thoroughly, and you have to take this work very serious, and it can do no harm other than, you know, you do become more responsible for this type of information. But that's a beautiful thing, because then you start to become more human, you start to become more sovereign, you start to understand that living harmoniously is what's going to end lots of the war that's going on. And, you know, that's one of the very reasons that I even went into all this, is because I'm not for war, you know. I mean, I am definitely a being who will, you know, respond with self-defense, because that's part of who we are. That's our inherent principle within ourselves. That's our inherent behavior that we have to respond to protect ourselves. And it is so, so vital that we learn this and be serious about life. You know, I mean, yeah, like, don't take life so serious and have fun and enjoy yourself, sure. But, you know, also take life serious and get into the studies, because this is what's going to essentially, you know, give you the carpet to go fly off into the universe and, you know, really experience the most beautiful things that, you know, authority can never grant you in man. You know, this is something that you have to discover on your own. So I want to end this show with a quote from Albert Churchward. And, you know, if you, we've mentioned his name many times on the show, so I don't really need to say too much more about the guy as far as like how important his work is. But one of the quotes he says is, "If Freemasonry is not to be a failure, the brethren must follow and practice those teachings outside the lodge that they are taught inside. It will not be sufficient to subscribe to the institutions and be a quote-unquote good fellow. Freemasonry is more than that. It is the old true religion of the world, without dogmas or sects, and to preserve Freemasonry from failure, it must be acted on and taught as such in our lives." So ruminate on that.
That's a powerful quote. I'm glad you brought in a quote from him.
Yeah, man. I mean, he is one of the ultimate Freemasons that has really changed my life as far as understanding Freemasonry, esoteric Freemasonry, and the, you know, the ancient Egyptian hero cults. So it is very important. He is definitely an important brethren who has worked much of his life to bring forth some of the most crucial knowledge that anybody could ever discover, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I can't agree anymore, you know, 100%.
Well, is there anything else you wanted to add, Brandon?
Nope. I'm good for this episode.
Well, I really, really appreciate you doing this with me. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand why you and I do a show. I mean, I think they kind of do, but you know, just to be very clear, you know, Brandon and Doug and I, we all have this knowledge that we want to share, and we are aligned in our principles. We understand basically the same things, not because, you know, it's a groupthink mentality, because that is definitely not what it is. We're aligned in principle, we're aligned in nature, we're aligned in morality. Therefore, what we are trying to express to people through here, this is a form of spiritual self-defense, and also it's a, you know, we want to share work with people because it's the right thing to do. This work is hard to find, and you know, it's, we're trying to aggregate it together and expedite this type of information. So that way, you know, the serious student has a place to come and, you know, see something, you know, condensed in a way that, you know, helps them understand the importance of it so that they can go do the work themselves and, you know, see that there really is something special about this type of knowledge. So I just wanted to share that. So this episode is at its end, guys. We've definitely had an awesome time explaining all this, and we hope you've found clarity and value in this show. And you can find more shows, presentations, and news at cubbyhole.com. That's cubbywhole.com. Plus, Douglas Martin's and Brandon's and my work is now up on the one, it's actually onegreatworknetwork.com. That's onegreatworknetwork.com. Also, please make sure to keep your eyes out for the next couple of shows, as Brandon and I will go further into the methods of manipulation and possibly another guest on as well. And as for now, a new show comes out every Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. So stay tuned for more. And if you have any questions regarding the topics for these shows or the Seed for Growth event, please email us at cubbyhole@mail.com. That's cubbyhole@mail.com. Also, any donations are appreciated, as anything that's given will go directly to the Cubbyhole website. Just hit the donation button on the website and it's set up pretty easy to operate from there. Okay, so I'm your host, Nate Kapp. Thank you for listening, and remember, do no harm, defend truth, and keep transcending dogma.